I got to be honest, it's not often that I would pass up an opportunity to preach. But today I think I'm going to have to pass it up. What I was going to say has been said. I've been waiting out over there the whole time because you want me to say it again. This is a crowd that needs to hear it twice. And I'm kind of still sorting that out. But literally, the name of my message was entitled, Being God's Children, the Facts and the Fiction. And of course, Jeff names his the truth and the falsehood. I mean, everything he said, down to the scriptures he used, was exactly what the Holy Spirit gave me to say. There'd probably be a little different spin that I might put on some things simply because I'm one of you, meaning Grace Communion International. He's one of us now, but I mean, I know you from living among you for many years. There might be some things I said. So as I was hearing him talk, I thought, man, if I get up there and say something, if I do proclaim this same message, what I would say, and I think what I'm going to do is just make a few comments. I'm not going to give you a message. We're going to get out on time. But I think overall, if we took all the messages together and hold them as a whole and really believe that our lives as children are from the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, then we would have to say that the gospel, as my friend Baxter Kruger says, the gospel is fun, but it's not a game. I think that's what I would say to you at this point. I'd say it's fun, but it's not a game. You're commanded, the thing scripture we had was, see how great the love of the Father is that he has, see how great a love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are, that is who we are, as we're saying, that's a fact, and we're being called to live out of that as a reality. But when we live out of that, what we understand, because the life of Jesus has actually been given to us by the Spirit right now, it means that grace does have its costs and its obligations. And these are words you don't like. Because you were ruined in one sense by HWA and all the religiosity that you've heard, and then even when you come into evangelicalism, you rushed out along with me to listen to the preachers who had it right while we had it all wrong. One thing I learned, as you probably learned along with me, is we didn't have the corner market on legalism. They preach it in another sophisticated kind of way. But it all boils down to the same thing. We preach works righteousness. And so what the devil has really done with that is he's gotten us inoculated against the gospel by giving us the truth in the form of a lie, or twisting the truth and making it a lie. So for instance, God has always, because he's always seen our lives only in Christ, and our humanity only conformed to the humanity of Christ, he's always had a way in which we were to live and participate and respond as priests in creation. So it's right to talk about obedience and commands, because you cannot look at the life of Jesus Christ and see a human being who's not obedient. You can't look to Jesus Christ and see a human being who's not conformed to God and breaks against the sin, because remember, he holds in his human body before the resurrection a broken flesh. He holds the same flesh you and I did, except miraculously and astoundingly, he did not sin within it. This is why for Jesus to live 33 years old, that's for us, that'd be like living thousands of years old. Because by the time he was 33, that fight emotionally, spiritually, relationally, in broken flesh to live in an obedient response to his Father, that would wear a person out. Are you with me on so far? So I'm saying that's the only humanity there is. And so right now, we have to understand a couple of dynamics. We say that everyone is included in Christ. This is absolutely right. But as Jeff was saying, this is my same way of saying it. Because you are included in Christ, then Jesus said, I must go away, and at that time I'll send the helper to you, the advocate. And what does the advocate bring to us? He brings conformity to Christ. And this is what Jeff is helping you realize. At the same time that you have to say, I'm included in Christ, you also have to accept along with that, then you must be obedient. And you must trust Christ. And you must participate with Christ in what he's thinking and being and doing. As he stated, you're not going to do it fully and perfectly right now. Right now, there's some mixture in which you live in the sinful Adam flesh that you have. You cannot do right. It does not want to do right. Neither can it do right. That's what he said. But now here's the thing. We're ending on the note that, but you have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Tell your neighbor beside you, say, I have the Holy Spirit. And look at them and say, we have the Holy Spirit. Alright, so we don't want to get in a trap, which look, John, when he's talking in 1 John, I read that over and over again, did the research, 1 John 1 through 5, he's dealing with Gnosticism. And the bottom line of it is there's a group of people who have a special knowledge. They don't need God. They certainly don't need this gospel of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, because for John, that's what the gospel is. God is Father, Son, and Spirit, and that fellowship has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ because we've seen him, we've heard him, and we've touched him, and we know that this is a fact. He says that that's what he's saying about this. He said, but these Gnostics don't receive that, and therefore, even though they are the children of God, because this atonement, who Christ is also not just for us believers, but also for those who aren't believers. And obviously, these Gnostics are not believers. He's saying that, so when they're not believing who you are a child of the devil. But you believers, you must believe and do something. And here's what that doing something looks like. It looks like loving your neighbor. Yeah. But he doesn't just leave it at that. He gets specific. He says, if your neighbor has a material need and you got the money in the bank and you don't go take care of that. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, if you got the money in the bank, let's see. What he doesn't say is, if you got more than enough, then don't. Listen here. Let me think about this a second. This is crucial. I got to get this out to you. He doesn't say, if all you've got is the amount of money in the bank that your neighbor needs, then don't give it, because then you won't have anything. He says, if you have it, give it. And if you don't give it when you have it, you are of the devil. We can make it to follow with Jeff so you don't think that I'm being strange and different than him. He's saying that kind of treatment of your neighbor is not of God. God will never claim that.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're participating in that, you are not participating in conformity to Christ. See, right now you can think about a lot of people you got to go give some money to. That's why you're so quiet. Because when you think about, I want you to think about the last person you saw on the corner somewhere. I'm noticing a tendency now, even in church people, they'll just tell me even boldly this way. It's kind of strange. They almost always will think of the person who's trying to rip a person off first. And say, well, you know, I'm careful about giving to people on the street because of the people who might be ripping you off. Are you telling me then what drives you is the ungiving nature of the evil one, the unpersonal, a non-being? That's driving you, the fact there might be some trickery involved rather than conformity to Christ, which risks and takes chances to give to those that are broken. Do you know where we live? We live in a broken world. People are broke. When they smell, they're probably not trying to fool you. To smell them, do you? You just want to have them. Well, but the word comes back to you in Christ, but you have the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to take that more seriously now. Now you're not going to be able to use as an excuse that you don't obey anymore or follow commands. See, these Gnostics, what they did, they said they could just do anything. But unfortunately, all of our translations in one sense are wrong when they come to 1 John 3, 1, 2, 3, and 4, because they use the word law. And John, not one time in the context is he talking about the law, meaning the Mosaic law. Not one single time is he talking about a standard of conduct written down in rules that people aren't following. What he uses is the term lawlessness, and that's still not good. That's our term. He uses the word, it's spelled A-N-I-M-O-I, it's something like that. And that word literally stands for, what he's really saying, if I was to get it down plain, he's saying, when you sin, that's from the devil. That's all he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying anytime you're not participating in Christ the way Christ is, that is of the devil. Mm-hmm. This is what Jeff said. He was saying that, yes, you need to admit that. In the light of Christ, you have to see that that's true, but that's okay. In the light of Christ, you can admit that because the gospel of grace is even more true than your sin. Mm-hmm. You can admit it because grace is greater than your sin. See, this is the importance of understanding God is grace. Hasn't God existed before everything?
Yes.
And who is God? God is Father, Son, and Spirit. If he's his own grace, then grace is before sin, right? Yes. So grace is the foundation. So there's nothing that can come after the foundation that can undo the foundation. So your sin will never be greater than God's grace. That's an impossibility.
Yes.
So we do have to always start off with the fact of the gospel and proclaim that. And the gospel is a person, the Son of God, coming into our human flesh. But because Jesus is not here right now, except by the Spirit,
yeah,
we have to understand that the only way he's here then right now is by the Spirit, in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, stick with me one second. I'm just coming as I talk to you. I'm trying to just talk around Jeff, not say the same thing he said, but say what I think needs to be said. All right, so the Spirit reminds us that God is not by nature physical and human. He's invisible. You can't see him. You don't know what he's up to. He's like the wind that blows. Woo. So at the one time, in the one sense that the Spirit belongs to everybody, the Spirit belongs to nobody. The Holy Spirit is not controlled by you. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so stick with me. So the only way Jesus is present right now is by the Spirit, but he says he sent the Spirit. So the only way that Jesus primarily shows up right now in the earth is in you and me. That's how they're going to see him. So you've got to understand, more importantly, your role in participating with Jesus on the earth today. You must evangelize.
Yes.
You must obey the command. I'm not telling you how to do it. You must do it in the Spirit. So see, if it's from the Father and through the Son and in the Spirit that we now live, and we do now live that, then everything we do has to be in the Spirit and through Jesus and to the Father.
Yes.
That's how you need to wait. So think about what that would really mean if you're living in the Spirit through Jesus and to the Father. See, that says to me, you must pray.
Yes.
Not as any legal thing, but because that's the only life that's been handed to you, a life of relationship. It's interesting, you don't see the Spirit still really in Scripture all that much. And you know why? That's the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is not about trying to make itself known. In fact, you cannot know the Holy Spirit apart from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit only reveals to you the Father and the Son, and that's how you see the Holy Spirit. You can't go off and try to say, how can I figure out who the Holy Spirit is? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't do what it wants to do. It steps back and says, I'm only going to show you and tell you Jesus Christ and the Father in whom you have fellowship through me. Are you with me? So if you're focused on the Father and the Son, that is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so getting down to how we leave here today. You've got to leave in the Spirit, through the Son, to the glory of the Father.
Yes.
That's how you're supposed to be living. Now, wouldn't that mean prayer every day?
Yes.
And many times in a day?
Yes.
You see why the Scriptures say, men ought always to pray and never give up.
Yes.
But the problem we're having now is because of the legalism in the past is, hey, I'll just get up out of bed, go to work, and you start praying a little bit at your, hey, help me with this, Father. You know, I'm like, hey, help me with this every once in a while. And you're not taking any real quality time to sit on the couch near the Father, Son, and Spirit and talk to them. I mean, you don't leave all your prayers to a whim. You're only going to read the Scriptures when the pastor puts it up on a PowerPoint. I quit doing PowerPoint. My church may not have noticed it, and I quit that. You better bring your Bible and listen up or something. You're supposed to read the scriptures. And so you don't let that feel, because it feels like legalism again. You mean I have to? Well, if the only life given to you is the life of the Father through the Son and in the Spirit, then yes, you got to read the Bible. Now see, I believe now we're mature enough to be able to receive that and not turn it into a legalism. If we're not mature enough, then grow up. You got to grow up. You've got to read the scriptures. You've got to pray daily. You've got to stop sinning. You've been falling into sin. Three pastors have fallen into sin, then you have fallen into sin. And I've talked to many pastors, and we have fallen into sin many years now. See, we get that again. I think the word to us is the gospel is fun. You are included, but it's not a game. You are a real participant. Jesus is really going to bodily return, and you want to look him in the face. Now, do you want to be found participating with the Spirit or not? Because the one thing we have to leave, even though we don't know, we are not universalists in the sense that we don't know that everybody's going to say yes. So that leaves room in the fact that we can say no after the resurrection. You see, we've been burnt. We've heard scriptures like, now is the day of salvation, and if you don't choose now, you're going to be burned up on wood pile forever and ever. So we have turned from that scripture, even though that scripture, and we're not enough out here preparing for Jesus' bodily return. We should be out here as enthusiastic as you can get, saying, now is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait. The Holy Spirit's been sent, and the Holy Spirit's really and truly God.
Yes.
So what do you think about the Holy Spirit? Is he just meant to give you assurance for a little bit moment, or is the Holy Spirit an active, dynamic person of God? See, so many of our understandings about God are static. We really do primarily think of God kind of sitting. We don't mean to. It's unconscious. We think of it just sitting in the sky somewhere, going to send Jesus someday. God is as active as it becomes. See, God is being in act, if I want to use Karl Barth's language. There's always something going on in God.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that's why there doesn't always have to be something going on in your life. You get to sleep. You get to sleep because he never slumbers or sleeps, right? But that's proof that, see, he's always active. But I'm trying to say to you, though, you cannot use the excuses you've used anymore. Well, I just grown up in worldwide, and I'm just shy. I never was taught to go out there and say anything to anybody and give any words. So, you know, I know you. I hear your excuses. You got excuses. Oh, but I'm old now, Pastor Tim. I just can't do it. My knee hurts. Yeah, man. Your knee hurts. Jesus Christ came into that broken flesh and made a way through it.
Yes.
And he sent you the Holy Spirit, which he accustomed to live with you in your broken flesh. So you say you have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, but you can't do nothing. That just goes to show you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Let's keep with what Jeff said. It's right on. That's right. You're not a believer in the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus is.
Yeah.
So because that's so, you don't have to go down in the ground and just, oh boy, I'm no good. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. What you do, because he has given you the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's there to help reconcile you and redeem you. You're going to say, hey, but I have the Spirit in Christ. And that Spirit was sent to me. So you got to wrestle. That's what I think here, I hear Jeff saying, or the Spirit saying to us today. You've got to wrestle. You can't just lie down because you are saved by grace. And if you sin, you know, it's going to be forgiven. The Spirit's been sent to you, and the Spirit strives against sin.
Yes.
And now you're striving not because of the law.
Yes.
You're striving because, if I could say a law, the law of Christ, he lives in you. He's the rule. He's the standard of your life. And you must learn of him, and you must be conformed to him.
Yes.
Because that's the way right now that the future comes into the present. They get to see a little microcosm or picture of Jesus Christ in you today.
Yes.
To have hope for tomorrow along with you.
Yes.
You with me, church?
Yes.
We've got to rethink now.
Mm.
We got to see y'all's appreciate. Paul David didn't know it. I said, I'm not getting up there without prayer. You know, he came to pray for me and Jeff. And one of the things he said, it was like he was done. And then he said, there's an addendum he needed to add. He said, Lord, bring us to repentance today. Woo! That's exactly what the Lord told me this early this morning. Is tell them to. But you know, here's how I wrestled with it. With the Spirit, I believe. I hate the word repent. I hate it about as much as you do now. But the reason I hate it is because it's a word that developed into repentance that never was. It never had a penance on it. Penance came because back in the day when people were very legalistic, they believed in penitence. That I got to do something to make it up. So then the word morphed into repentance. That's not a biblical word, really. Repentance isn't. Because we think repentance, and that's what most of us think when we think about repentance. Oh, no, I got to do something again to make up for the love that's now been lost from the Father's side. I hate the word. It's not good. So I got to thinking before the Father and talking to him. First thing we really ought to think is rethink. Metanoia. Rethink. You got to get your mind on straight. Put on, you have the mind of Christ. And you need to remember that by the Spirit that's been given to you. The Spirit will prompt you to remember that. But it just doesn't mean think. Because if you think about serving your neighbor or the man on the street and you never do it, that sucks. That is of the devil and not of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, this is what John is doing in 1 John. He's trying to say, at the same time, he's saying you can live in this assurance. You never have to worry about whether you're a child of God or not. Yet the Holy Spirit has been sent here. Jesus is real. His Father is real. And your participation is real. And it looks like something transformed. So we preachers need to be sick of the fact that when we preach sometimes, you come up and say, hey, that was great. I got good stuff out of that. No, what we are looking for is you saying, hey, that was so great. I changed last week and did this instead of that. The gospel is fun, but it's not a game. It's real. Real people need to hear you say something about Jesus Christ. They need you to do deeds that point to Christ. Now look, I'm not telling you what deeds, and I didn't name the Ten Commandments, so don't go out of here and lie on me. Sometimes the commandment of God in Jesus looked like it was not a command of God. He would go out on the Sabbath and heal. And everybody else thought that was immoral, because if you're going to follow God and be religious, you don't touch a person on the Sabbath. So I'm not telling you what to do, because what God would have you do as a deed to point to his kingdom might look very bad to most of us. In order to win some alcoholics, you might have to take a sip. People that love weed, you might have to take a tip. I didn't say you had to get high. Listen to me carefully. I didn't say you had to get drunk. I said, but you might have to do something that looks immoral to some of us and we're not aware of the situation. But it might be doing the deeds of Jesus. Jesus is not subject to the law. He's over the law. He is the law. What he says goes. Not some word that was written a long time ago that he might have said. He could be theologically innovative because he is the law. Yeah. Yeah. Are y'all with me, church? Yeah. This is how we got to learn now to wrestle so we don't fall back to this other side. And in one sense, be ashamed. He lives in us. We receive this good news. And in the end, we really did not participate with it. Now, I'm trying to be careful enough so that you don't fall back into some type of legalism. That is not what I'm proclaiming here. But I am proclaiming that God, the Father, Son, and Spirit is real and is not a joke. And he really lives here in our day. And he's decided that he's not going to live here in our day without you. Yes. Now you're going to have to make up your mind about that. Is he with you or not? And if he is, he got to be getting to where a place where he encounters you in the scriptures. No, the scriptures aren't the boss, as it were, but he encounters you as the boss in and through the scriptures. Y'all with me, church? I know this is hard wrestling, but this is the season now for wrestling so that we don't again, man. I mean, you want to really look like Israel? I mean, really, in one sense we do. All of us are still disobedient, even though the Lord is gracious to us, as we heard Calvin say. But in the end, man, a whole bunch of people didn't get to go in the present in the promised land. Even Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. They got to go into the really, really promised land. When you die here, you go to the face of Jesus. But at that time, Jesus didn't exist yet. There was no Jesus until he was born in Mary. Y'all with me? There was always the Son of God, but there wasn't no Jesus. Okay, that's another class for another day. All right, I think what the Spirit is saying, I think you're hearing what the Spirit is saying in the church. You need to go back now and continue to rethink. And I'm going to put it in this way. Here's what I say. I had to make up a word and I will. You have to go back and rethink act. Rethink act. If you can ever think about yourself thinking and not acting, then you're not thinking. And if you can think of yourself acting without thinking out of the mind of Christ, then you're not acting. Go back and in the grace of the Spirit from the Father through Jesus, rethink act. And participate with him in what he's doing in your life. Yeah. And if you're lost about that, what do you do? Yes. Talk to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or talk to who? Talk to the Father. Yeah. Or you talk to who? Holy Spirit. Because to talk to one of them, in one sense, is to talk to all of them. Because God is not three without being one. Yes. You with me? So don't get all bogged down. Well, which one should I talk to? Now, that's being legalistic. Talk to any one of them and say the words that I've learned is the best words you could ever say. Help! Yeah. Help! I do it every week, almost every day. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to raise no children. I don't know how to pay no rent. Help! That's what my prayer looks like. My prayer life has four letters in it. Help! Ain't no joke. That's not much of one. Okay, so as we prepare to commune together, the big command, if you really want something to do, the first thing to do, well, he gives us two things. He says, if you receive me by the grace I give to you and the Holy Spirit, there's two things to do. One is to be baptized. And not baptized so that you can finally get in, but baptized to participate in the baptism of Jesus and to pronounce that I am in, along with the rest of the world. Except you get to act that out subjectively, personally. Because this is the thing. Why do we still act things out even though Jesus has done it in our place? Because we really matter, and he did that for us so that we personally could do it after him. You with me? So we're never going to say Jesus has done it and relax. All right, so we should look for much of that to be done in our life. Although on the other hand, this doesn't mean you're a little God. Doesn't mean there's a big Jesus and now you're a little Jesus. No, you're never going to be a God. There's always some limit and difference between the Jesus Christ and then you by the Spirit participating in his life. Y'all with me on that? That's an important thing to hold together. But nonetheless, we can take for real, from the Father, through Jesus, and in the Spirit. So what is the purpose for your life? The purpose for your life is 2 Corinthians 13:14, as we prepare. You can, oh, that's it. Let me read this first. 2 Corinthians 13:14. If you're real astute, you might say, hey, there's no 14 in my Bible. 2 Corinthians 13:14. That's right. Some Bible scriptures have verse 14 and some don't. Some only have 13. It's different in the interpretations. Okay, verse 14 in my Bible, the NIV. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Yes.
So, what is your purpose in life? To live in the grace of the Lord Jesus. And you're supposed to go out of here living for the love of God. Because you've been sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the communion of God. They have what the Holy Spirit's interested in is that you know the fellowship, experience the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Spirit in all of its various ways and dynamics. So what we're going to do is take communion today and receive in the Spirit, because that's of the Spirit that would even want to participate in life, Christ's life, the glory of his Father. We're going to participate in the Spirit, and through Jesus to the glory of the Father and be who we've been called to be. So I'm going to ask that you please pass out the communion elements at this time. This is the second thing to do after we're baptized. What the church has done for many years, but Jesus commanded it. He said, if you want to do something, receive, do communion. And as often as you do it, be reminded of me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It reminds us of Jesus, that this is not a bunch of pressure on us to do or be anything apart from Christ. He's done it all. It's completely and utterly done to where we are fully saints and utterly righteous, as Brother Jeff was saying. On the other hand, recognition of this broken world we yet live in, or his, to use his words, the overlap. We need help remembering it. We need to touch something tangible. Remember that Jesus is tangibly available to us in the Holy Spirit right now. We can receive his life and respond to it. So I'll wait till you get that in hand and we'll take it together. Paul said, and I think it holds true for us in the Spirit in our day, for I am the least of the apostles. If you are the least, you should think that of yourself. Remember, you're the one that has the big splinter in your eye, and the worst person you know only has a splinter. Uh-oh. Y'all don't like that part of the Bible. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, to be called a child. We don't deserve that, no. Because I persecuted the church of God. Many of us in here did, because we were in the only one and true church. And everyone else was a false. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, Paul can admit that he's that broken because of the good news he's received. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, Paul says, I worked harder than all of them. You working harder than all of them? Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That's what we have to wrestle and contend with now as we go out into this next year. So if you'll rise to your feet, if you would, repeat after me. From the Father.
From the Father.
Get my thoughts straight here.
Grace.
When Jesus lived.
When Jesus lived.
He lived my life.
When Jesus died,
he died my death.
When Jesus rose,
humanity was resurrected in him.
And
when he ascended, all of humanity ascended with him. And we are all seated at the right hand of God.
In Jesus Christ.
And we've been sent.
The Holy Spirit.
Therefore,
the gospel is fun.
But it is not a game.
Help us, Holy Spirit.
Receive Jesus. Receive the broken body of Jesus, conforming you to Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit by partaking and being nourished in Christ right now, this present life. This is not just a sign or a symbol. We are somehow really participating in the fellowship of the Father and Son and the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! One day we're going to see how real this was to take this. Hallelujah.